Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
Oh, this is such a blessing to see you, Mr. President. Thank you for taking time out of your day. Oh, gracious God, thank you so much.
All right, what's the question?
All right, Mr. President.
I kind of ride the middle of the road. I told you this before. I own guns, and I'm for abortion.
It's definitely built inside orthodoxy in terms of portrayal of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Father is the large black African-American woman. The Holy Spirit is an Asian, and then Jesus plays himself.
They believe that every problem practically can be solved if you just had enough condoms. I call that ideology condomism.
This is something that I think Christians often do not reflect upon sufficiently. We were recently talking with Alan Carlson about American society, a family-based society, a family-friendly society and political party. One of the observations that Carlson made was that American Protestants embraced the birth control pill for two reasons, largely because it wasn't abortion. And they said, heck, it's not abortion. We got to be for this thing. And they embraced it also because they, to some degree, wanted to differentiate themselves from the Roman Church's position on contraception. But what do Christians, what ought Christians believe about contraception, about birth control? That's a tricky term, birth control, because in my opinion, everybody believes in birth control. The question is, how is it controlled, by what means, and to what ends, for what reasons? We're going to be talking about contraception for the full first hour of Issues Etc. today. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Wednesday. It's the 18th of February. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Or you can email us questions or comments, talkback at issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. A little bit later in the program, we're going to be what are we going to be talking about? I actually forget what we're going to be discussing in the second hour of the program right now. We've reoriented our studio enough that – there we go. I lose my papers. We've put me in a different chair so that our two participants in our roundtable in the first hour here can actually face one another, which is not usually the case. We usually make them practically sit back to back. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Martin Luther will be the subject, of course. The church is remembering Luther on this day, 16th century reformer. And then, let's see, Greg Kokel will join us for part three of a five-part daily series on discussing your Christian convictions today. The conclusion of what we're calling the Columbo tactic, asking questions. The question today, have you ever considered blank? Making a propositional statement. Greg Kokel of Stand to Reason will be our guest. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Joining us to talk about Christians and contraception, Pastor Heath Curtis. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois. Heath, welcome back.
Always good to be here.
And Pastor Michael Walther, pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Collinsville, Illinois, another regular guest. Michael, welcome back.
Glad to be here, Todd.
All right, first for you, Heath, and then the same question to you, Michael. As a, on a whole, for society, has contraception been a net good or ill?
It's been a net ill, definitely. And if I can introduce that with an ecumenical statement, you mentioned before that the Roman Church is really known for its stance against contraception. And in recent generations, that was when the Pope issued a statement called Humanae Vitae in 1968. And he made some predictions in that. And as Lutherans, we're not the biggest fans of the Pope, but this one's such a no-brainer, we might say that even the Pope got it right. A couple of the things that he predicted, and I'll just read from that just for a second. He said that folks need incentives to keep the moral law and that it's an evil thing to make it seem easier for them to break that law, and just ask yourself what's happened to the teen pregnancy rate since 1968. Ask yourself, why is it in 1973 that abortion becomes an issue? That's because contraception leads to unplanned pregnancies. We can talk about that more later on in detail about why that's so. But he also said this, that another effect that gives cause for alarm is that a man who grows accustomed to the use of contraceptive methods may forget the reverence due to a woman, and disregarding her physical and emotional equilibrium, reduce her to being a mere instrument for the satisfaction of his own desires. What's happened to the divorce rate? 1950, there were 10 divorces per 1,000 married women. 1965, it was still about 10. That's when birth control was legalized in the United States, Griswold versus Connecticut. 1968, it's up to 11. 1980, the divorce rate had doubled to 21. And then the last thing he mentioned was that governments would use this against people. And that came true in 1979 when China introduced the one-child policy. So that's just the tip of the iceberg about from viewing this from a secular point of view. It's been a bad thing for secular society.
Michael, I see you nodding your head at virtually every point here. So your thoughts on the question, from a cultural or secular viewpoint, a net good or ill contraception?
I would just agree with Heath completely on all of those points. I think there. I will argue a little bit for some good later on, but it is far outweighed by these same bad things that have resulted from it. And I would say it's because of the misuse of birth control. And so we'll talk more about that a little bit later.
All right. I want to come to both of your positions here. And this is, for our listeners' benefit, not intended to be so much a debate as an exploration of the kind of the spectrum of ideas that exists in honest, fair-minded Christian thought about contraception. How would you react, Heath, to my contention that everyone to some degree believes in birth control? Birth control is not the issue so much as contraception. And here's my analogy. Everybody believes in gun control. I know you're a big gun guy.
Hold on too. With both hands.
Yeah, right. Or do you want a convicted felon to have free access to firearms legally? And most people will say no. Well, then you believe in some form of controlling this thing. Now, the rough analogy is that even those who would say birth control per se is immoral still by default in some way practice some kind of management control over the begetting and the having of children, if not with contraception, then by other means. How would you react to that?
I might pull a Columbo on your hiney and say, what do you mean by that? But
feel free.
I think I get what you're saying is, but let me ask you if I am understanding what you're saying. Are you saying that you think everybody plans the number of children they want to have and aims for that?
No.
Okay.
No.
I need you to clarify.
I'm simply saying that people simply do not, to put it in crass terms, simply do not say, well, we're just going to explore the fecundity of my wife for the next 25 years of her childbearing.
Right.
Sometimes we're going to take a break. We're going to abstain. We're going to consider her needs and all those kind of things.
Well, there's your distinction. Maybe a good way to open it up would just be to narrate very briefly the historic Christian position.
Please do.
The Christian church, all denominations, were completely unified in this teaching until 1930. Every Christian denomination, you name it, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, Roman Catholic, Lutheran, everybody said that intentionally removing procreation from sex is an immoral act and contrary to God's design for marriage and for human sexuality. When did the crack in the dam happen? It was at the 1930 Lambeth Conference in England. That's the meeting of all the bishops of the Anglican Communion. And they, for the first time in 1930, declared that it would be allowable within marriage sometimes to use contraception. The responses to that from the rest of the Christian world came hot and heavy. The first Lutheran Hour speaker responded to it by saying that the Anglicans were returning to paganism. The Methodist bishop of Washington, D.C. condemned it. The Lutheran Witness condemned it. The Concordia Pulpit series responded with a sermon for Lutheran pastors to preach against it. I mean, it's an amazing there was an amazing unity across Christian culture against birth control. And as I sometimes point out to people, when the Anglicans have ever decided to do something different than anybody else, how well has that gone? Do we need to start listing those things? You know, pagan or lesbian priestesses, you know.
Okay, Michael, with about a minute and a half, and I'll give you time on the other side if there's not sufficient up on this break, would you differ significantly in or would you see yourself as having departed from the historic Christian position with regard to birth control?
I think so, a little bit. And I think as I've studied this, I feel that part of this might be an overstatement. And because as I read the scriptures, and I'm going to come back to scriptures again and again and again, and this whole thing about the relationship between conception and pleasure and sex seems to come down to one passage. And that's a red flag.
What's the one passage?
It's Genesis 38, the sin of Onan. And I'll just read the passage and we can probably get started in that, and then
it's a pretty graphic passage.
We'll
go ahead,
that.
And
okay.
Then we'll use that to take us into our break, so
right.
People can have a chance to
and
breathe.
See, this is my problem because I agree, I respect all of the people that take such a strong stand on this, but I question whether they've really studied this thoroughly and have come to the right conclusion. Okay, that's my position. But Onan knew that the heir would not be his. And it came to pass, when he went into his brother's wife, that he admitted on the ground, lest he should give an heir to his brother. Now, the context of that passage is the issue of the preservation of Israel. And that is a messianic issue. That is the forefront. That is the foreground of that passage. See, God divided the land among the tribes, and he wanted to make sure those tribes are all preserved.
All right, we'll come back to that very point when we come back. We're talking about contraceptions and Christians. Pastor Heath Curtis and Pastor Michael Walther are our guests.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Pastor Martin Kaufman, Don Ellers, Cheryl Gibson, Pastor Bob Mayer, Pastor Lee Janney, Pastor David Hilgert, Pastor Michael Pointer, Pastor Cal Siegel, and Sally Wegen. Thanks for your support.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkins. So what do you believe about contraception? It's Wednesday, February the 18th. We're talking about Christians and contraception. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Heath Curtis and Pastor Michael Walther are our guests. Michael, pick up where you left off. You were talking about that one passage, and it's key that you are asserting this is really just one passage in Genesis that is often used by those who would either condemn or eschew all forms of birth control contraception. Pick up where you left off.
Yeah, the problem here is this Onan had an obligation under God's will that he would bring forth a child, and he's avoiding that, and that is a one time. It appears to be a one time thing. We don't know the larger context of but he avoids this altogether. It's a one time description, but it appears that it's something he is not going to do this. He's not going to bring forth an heir, and this is. This is something God wants him to do, and that's different from a couple who says, we want to bring forth children, but we're not sure we want to bring forth a child right now. And see, we use that passage to condemn any kind of family planning along those lines. I don't think we're talking about the same things there. And so that's my concern about that passage. I don't think it's really being used in the appropriate manner when we do it that way.
What's your response, Heath?
I'm happy to discuss my opposition and the church's opposition to contraception and so-called family planning without any reference to Genesis 38. So often I think this passage, for exactly the reasons that Pastor Walther's mentioned, really becomes a red herring and a distraction. We can have this whole conversation without that Bible passage. The only thing I might try to use that passage for my position, is pointing out that the only time in the Bible, the only time when family planning or contraception is shown, it's shown as a negative. But I won't push it any farther. Mm-hmm. Because of the reasons, because you could say, he didn't quite finish the passage. The next verse is, and what Onan did was evil in the sight of the Lord, so he killed him. Take that.
That's God's family planning
right there. Right. There you go. There you go. You can get guys who will really try to hang their hat on what Onan did, not what he intended. But again, I don't need to have that. Here's the passages that I would go through in the line of reasoning, the biblical line of reasoning I would talk about. The first thing, and we were just talking about this during the break, Pastor Walther mentioned it. Hey, we're Genesis 1:28. God's first blessing and command upon humanity is to be fruitful and multiply. And if you, for example, limit your family to one child, you ain't multiplying, you're dividing. If you limit your family to two children, you're only multiplying by one. So let's start there. And that's not only said there to Adam and Eve, that's repeated to Noah. And then you might say, well, yeah, Noah's got to get things going again. Well, it's also repeated to Jacob. When God builds his own people, God's will for us is life. And then another passage I might bring us to is Psalm 127, where it says that children are a blessing of the Lord, the heritage of the Lord. Blessed is the man who has his quiver full of them. And so what I might ask is, with what other commodity that the Lord calls a blessing, would we ever say back to the Lord, I don't want that blessing? Would we ever say back to him, Lord calls wisdom a blessing. What if there was a pill I could take to remove wisdom from my life? Would that be a moral or a wise thing to engage in? There's a lot else to say. I want to get to something that Pastor Walther and I have talked about before, that I definitely want to say that being anti-contraception doesn't mean you're anti-sex or anti-pleasure in marriage. There are two reasons for marriage that the church has always talked about: mutual support and happiness of husband and wife, and procreation. I guess you might say my position is that God gave those two things together, and that what God has put together, let no man put asunder. Because if I could ask another what if question to drive the point home, when you look at the birth control pill, somebody takes that pill to remove one of those purposes from the act of sex. Sex is something that brings a husband and wife together physically, emotionally, spiritually. That's one purpose. And sex is something, it's the way that God has given to grant new life to the human race. The birth control pill is a pill that tries to remove that second function. What would you think about the moral standing of a pill that took away the other thing?
The pleasure.
Yeah. What if there was a pill I could take that would remove the emotional connection and pleasure from sex? And we're going to call this the I don't know what kind of control pill that.
Doesn't matter because it's not going to sell.
Yeah, the outburst control. Exactly. And there's the thing. We view pleasure, sexual pleasure, as a good that can never be curtailed. And that's actually a very Aristotelian and Thomistic view of a good. You always support a good. So Americans are right on that. But they don't view procreation as a good. You know, people would say, you're nuts. It would just be wrong to take a pill that would remove pleasure and emotional connection from sex. But it's okay to take a pill to remove even the possibility of children from sex? That's odd.
Okay, Pastor Walther, your response, especially with reference to be fruitful and multiply, but your general response.
My general response to that, I agree with that to a point. Certainly, procreation and pleasure are the significant things we're talking about here. My question is, how can we say for sure that these must always be together? Let me give you some examples. I mean, the Genesis 38 passage is the main passage used to bring those two together. The other passages about the blessing of children don't really address that particular issue. I agree with those completely, and I'm all about multiplying. We've got five kids. So anyway, the thing here is that we know, apart from the Bible, the way God created us, and this would just be kind of a natural law argument, that God did make us to have pleasure, basically three-fourths of the time apart from conception. We also have pleasure after menopause apart from conception. And so there are some built-in facts in natural law and creation that says these things don't always go together. And my point is, I mean, that it's not the issue is not the that we can never separate these two, but that we have to be very careful about what we're doing when it comes to multiplying, and that as we think about these things, we need to be focusing on that. And I like to get into this debate because I think it helps people to really come back to that main issue and to work for that, pray for that, and seek that.
Hey, can I jump in there one thing I need to respond to? There's I think Pastor Walther's fallen into a classic debating error there, and part of his response about, and it's called the naturalistic fallacy. And what that means is you say it's okay for me to do something if it happens in nature. And so Pastor Walther said, we can see from nature that three-fourths of the time, sex doesn't lead to babies. And after menopause, sex doesn't lead to babies. And nobody's ever said, you know, that's wrong. So therefore, it's okay for me to willfully remove babies from sex. And that's a naturalistic fallacy, which states that because something happens in nature, it's therefore permissible and moral for a human being to cause the same. We can see that that's a fallacy when we ask about things like abortion and euthanasia. Because what people will say is, grandma's going to die anyway, so why not pull the plug? That's the naturalistic fallacy.
Or women miscarry.
Women miscarry. They're, you know, literally about one half of pregnancies are miscarried. Most of them not even knowing that they were pregnant because it happens at the zygote or blastocyst level, but that doesn't make abortion okay. And so that's one thing that I hear a lot in this debate that I think does need to be pointed out, that we need to think about that more deeply.
Okay, but let me respond to that. Mm-hmm. Heath, show me how we're going to guarantee that these have to be tied together all the time.
Sure. What I would say, first of all, I think the burden of proof is would be on the other position to say that it's okay to separate them, because we know the Lord has given them together. Because it's not me who's making a moral decision to change something. Status quo is husband and wife share marital relations. Mm-hmm. And if then the Lord chooses to bless that, or if the Lord doesn't choose to bless that. So the status quo, since that's the status quo, since that's how God made us, I would contend that the burden of proof is on the other position to prove that it's a positive moral good to remove the possibility of life from a given sex act.
Okay, let's take another break when we come back. This is going along very nicely. In fact, I love this kind of segment of the show, because I get to sit and listen to two people who know far more than I know about this, which is usually the case. But I get to sit and listen, and the two of you essentially conduct a interviewless or interviewer-less interview. It's very nice. I just thought about it a moment ago, getting up and leaving the room and listening out in the control room for pure pleasure. We're talking about Christians and contraception. Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois. Pastor Mike Walther is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Collinsville, Illinois. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback at issuesetc.org. Call or email during this break.
Now, only our listeners can cancel us. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Pastor Michael Wolf, Pastor Brian Drebus, Pastor Randy Bolt, Pastor John Miller, Kyle Christopher, Michelle Christopher, Pastor John Gore, Robert Fry, James Parker, and Nicolene Meyer. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The United Nations Population Fund is full of pro-abortion bureaucrats who emphatically oppose the traditional family and take a very dim view of poor people having children. At a recent meeting in Mexico City, a representative of this morally bankrupt group revealed their true colors. He denounced the idea high divorce rates and out-of-wedlock births indicate a social crisis. Instead, he said it was a triumph of human rights against patriarchy. And this is the organization President Obama is giving your tax dollars to. They also support the cruel forced abortion policies in China. And they've helped administer forced sterilization of women in South America. Now, many are celebrating because our new president is helping their agenda.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. issuesetc.org.
I'll never beat the view from my front porch looking in. There's a carrot top that can barely walk with a sippy cup of milk. A little blue-eyed blonde with shoes on.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Christians and contraception. That means the conversation really here is not just about sex or pleasure or birth control, but about kids, about children, about families, about mothers and fathers, and how Christians deal with all the complexities there, but especially when it comes to size of family. And we all know that in America, we are beneath the replacement rate. That means mom and dad don't replace themselves in this generation. That's why the population continues to go down. It has all sorts of effects in society, but what are the moral issues that attach here? Our call-in number, and I want to know what you think about it as well, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Heath, you wanted to establish a kind of a bridge here, mm-hmm. so that people understand on the easy case, so-called easy cases, you and Mike really almost see completely eye to eye. It's only the hard cases.
Well, now after that bump music, I'm sorry, I got to say this. After that bump music, I'm thinking about changing my position because Because evidently procreating makes you a hillbilly. You know, Jeff's in there, what he's picking. But.
No, that was my pick,
okay,
and that's because
okay.
I happen to be a country music fan.
Good golly. All right, see, brothers can disagree even on such important matters.
Best music out there.
All right, back to contraception. Pastor Walter and I have a good relationship. We're in the same circuit. We've talked about this before, and I thought it'd be really important for people to hear that on a day-to-day, normal Christian life basis, I think we really agree, and I'll ask him this, because I'll just state how I would and then let him jump in and talk about a recent preaching experience he had. And that is, the normal way for Christians who are healthy and live in the richest country of the world and are living a normal Christian life is that they would just not give a lot of concern to so-called family planning, but would put their trust in the Lord's hands and lean not on their own understanding and be open to the gift of life when God wants to give it in every sexual act they have, and that therefore gives a deeper meaning and purpose to their sexual lives. And they're just open to God's gift of life, and that's the appropriate, normal Christian way of life.
Okay. Mike?
Absolutely. The sermon he's referring to that I preached for our Life Sunday was titled The Forgotten Issue of the Pro-Life Movement. And I just said, we're just a bunch of hypocrites. We are so worried about aborting a child, but we don't have anything to say about how we prevent children from coming into the world in the first place. I can't think of anything that would make God angrier, you know, than those of us who think we're so pro-life because we're so against abortion, and yet we turn around and just work so hard to keep children from coming into the world. And so that was my position, and I think we need to follow God's word, just as Heath said, to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Children are a blessing of the Lord, and the only position I'm really taking here is that I think there's a place for using birth control, and as I do not necessarily see a huge distinction between natural birth control and artificial birth control. Let me make my position on that clear a little bit. Even natural birth control uses some technology. You know, it took science to figure out the woman's cycle and to count things out. Sometimes we use thermometers and things like that. These are in ways, you know, using the reason and the gifts that God has given us to prevent a child from being conceived.
There's some human contrivance.
There is, yeah. And that's why I don't necessarily think we can say one is totally evil and one is totally sanctified. People could use natural birth control and they do it in the wrong way. Mm-hmm. You know, so we have to think about that and be aware of that.
Absolutely. I don't hear anything in there that I disagree with. I think to give us some clarity, though, on where the disagreement is we need to bring in the issue of the hard cases.
Okay.
And that is because that's where if your listeners out here today, Todd, if they hear this program and they walk away with Pastor Walther's viewpoint of this, well, I'm going to go home and shed tears of joy. Because what you heard Pastor Walther say was that the members of our congregations need to repent of being of holding back God's gift of life, and in that way, really not being pro-life in the sense of that term, being pro-human life, wanting to accept God's gift of life. Our society needs to repent of that. Even aside from the issues of the abortifacient processes that can go on with the birth control pill and so forth, but the real question where we're going to find Christians with this very traditional stance finding a little bit of disagreement is the hard cases. What about the parents who two kids into their marriage find out that one of them has cystic fibrosis and that there's a 1 in 4 chance that their next child could have this, you know, life-threatening and debilitating disease? What about the woman to whom the doctors have said, you cannot have another child? If you have another child, the risk to your life is going to be so high, you just can't do it. This is where we leave the normal Christian everyday circumstance, and we have to face these questions. Let me give you the traditional Christian response. The traditional Christian response to that has been, first and foremost, now make sure you're really a hard case. Okay. This is, and Pastor Walter's smiling because he knows this is the pastor's first response to any excuse. You know, the first thing is, didn't I just see you driving an SUV out of your $250,000 McMansion on the way to your $100,000 job after you dropped the bill for TiVo and Charter Communications cable into your mailbox? Did I just see that? And you're telling me that you can't afford to have any more children? Okay. So the first thing is, ask yourself the hard question, am I a hard case? If you ask yourself that, if you hold up the mirror of God's law and ask yourself why you really want to limit your family, and you come back with, yeah, Pastor, I am a hard case. We've been diagnosed with X. The doctors have said Y to my wife. Then we come to a decision, and we ask, is it a moral thing? Can it therefore ever be a moral thing to want to have to say no to this blessing of God? Some Christians will say, at this point even, no, it's just never right to say no to something that's a blessing of God, and therefore, good luck. That's unfair, that position. They would say, therefore, put your trust in the Lord, and if he sends you that cross to bear, you got to bear that cross. I have a lot of respect for that position. Mine is a little more nuanced. I can see in those extreme cases that standing off away from that blessing is would be a moral thing to do. However, once you've come to that point, you've only decided that my goal, my objective, which is in this very special circumstance, I'm going to avoid the blessing of children. If you decide that goal, that objective is moral, you still have to decide on a moral means to get there. Going to Chicago is a great thing to do, but if you steal a car to get there, that's not moral. And so what the church has said is throughout its history is that if it comes down, it has to be that way, there is a moral way to do that, and that is abstinence. The Roman church, what Pastor Walter was referring to in so-called natural family planning or natural birth control, the Roman Catholic Church, starting in about the 1930s, wanted to find room for this way of thinking in a more sustained method and to observe a woman's infertile periods and fertile periods and abstain from sex. And he said, you know, you could use this, absolutely you could use this wrongly. And in fact, altogether that was rejected by our Lutheran forefathers. Here's John Fritz from Pastoral Theology. This is the pastoral textbook for Concordia Seminary through the 30s and 40s and 50s. He says, by the unfruitful periods in a woman's life, God himself has made provision for the prevention of too frequent conception. However, God did not intend that man should use such limitation for the absolute prevention of childbirth, nor to permit parents to determine for themselves how many or how few children they'll have. So it's right in the Lutheran tradition, actually, that we're take a little harder stance than the current modern Roman church. The Roman Church would say to people, if you come to a hard circumstance in your life where you need to reach this goal of saying no to God's gift of life, and it's a special circumstance, so that's an okay goal, they'll say you have two ways of getting to that goal: abstinence, period, or this fancy abstinence, where we're going to take your temperature, we're going to find out what days are okay in the month and what days are not okay this month. And historically, the Lutheran Church has said, don't get fancy. If you've got a cross to bear, bear the cross, and that's going to mean abstinence.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when we come back, I want to hear from Pastor Walther on this, and I want to hear from you as well. We got 10 minutes left in our conversation about Christians and Contraception live this Wednesday, February the 18th. I told Jeff when we were prepping for this earlier this morning, I wish we could take 2 hours to do it because I think there's 2 hours worth of show here. We might have to have these guys back to kind of do part two on this because there's so many other questions still unanswered, but we're doing great. I want to hear from you, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or you can email your questions or comments to us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Sumner Honeywell, Nate Taggetts, Catherine Horstman, Rodney Shear, Leonard Burton, William Gassett, William Eggers, Karen Rock, Mary Eggers, and Patricia Prohl. Thanks for your support.
Here's a new way to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can now donate stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. in 2009. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes, and it's not going to be enough time, I guarantee you folks, to conclude what we need to talk about. We're talking about Christians and contraception, 1-877-623-6943, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Curtis had a lot to say before the break. I'd like your response, Pastor Walther.
Well, again, my concern here on these special cases is this. We keep boiling down to this issue of can pleasure and conception or the possibility of conception ever be separated? And what we had talked about on the break is, you know, my position is I hear these theologians saying this, and I just don't see a lot of biblical support for it. I hear a lot of words, and we both kind of agreed, well, maybe there isn't a strong Bible passage and a series of Bible passages that can lock this in for us. And that's a good thing in a sense that okay, maybe we can just recognize it and figure out where we're going to go from here. Mm-hmm. And where I'm going to go from here is that couple is in a special case. I don't think abstinence is the right thing because I think you are throwing out a purpose of sex that God has given. So I think there's a very good reason for using birth control there. To me, again, in the
hard cases.
In the hard cases. We're talking about multiplying. I keep coming back mm-hmm. to the goal is multiplying, and you know, having children who are going to have very big special needs and things like that. You know, I'd say limit that so that you can multiply over here. You know, and multiplying is kind of a community thing. It was given to Adam and Eve, but it's given to all their children. And our goal is to multiply together.
Okay, I need to ask some kind of general questions to at least put a bow on some of these issues for our listeners. To both of you, as briefly as possible, is the use of contraception a sin? How would you respond to that if you were given that simple question, Pastor Curtis?
In almost every conceivable circumstance, yes.
Pastor Walther?
No, I wouldn't say that. And I would say that the sin is avoiding God's command to multiply.
Pastor Walther, where do you stand on the use of the birth control pill?
No. My wife and I talked about that early, right at our beginning of our marriage, and I don't think a lot of people know this. I feel ashamed as a pastor that I haven't talked about it enough, but I don't think people realize that the pill often works as an abortifacient, and that's not good. And so, I mean, as good as it works, I guess, I don't think we should be using that.
I assume you will stipulate right there without any response.
Well, no, absolutely. Well, my response would be my own story. When Rebecca and I were first married, we were just part of the culture. We got married, and we were both going to go to grad school and have wonderful lives as academics and get around to kids when we wanted to, and we're on the pill. And, obviously had a 180 in there, and it started with that information that Pastor Walther just talked about.
Did our church body, Pastor Curtis, come to a hasty conclusion? I'm talking about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Did they come to a hasty conclusion about the use or the permission to use the birth control pill?
No. Well, as in so many things, Pastor Wilkin, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has not come to any conclusions. Mm-hmm. We are still on record, as far as I know, being against it all. There's a great article. I can PDF and send it over to Jeff if he wants to post it, but in a sociological journal. A professional sociologist by the last name of Graebner, so he must be related in there somehow, did a study of the Missouri Synod. I could sit here for 5 minutes, read you quotes from the Lutheran Witness against birth control in years past. And then in the late 1960s, a guy named Ray Winkle married a gal who was a Methodist doctor from Wyoming and was very pro-contraception. And Ray Winkle was a prophet, St. Louis, and he kind of talked everybody into just being quiet about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't have a voice.
Here's my take on that. I see two problems. I think some of these earlier statements are overstatements. And again, thin biblical grounds for the big statements that they're making. The other side of the coin is exactly what Heath has said. Just totally not addressing it. Mm-hmm. And not even dealing with it. And not we have not had a thorough study of this. And, right. And we're so afraid, I said in my sermon that Sunday, I'm glad not everybody got up and ran out of the church. But it was amazing. People thanked me. There was nobody got irritated with me.
If I could just say one more thing, and this would probably make it very practical for people. You know, Pastor Walther has talked about, he can see my point. He gets the argument I'm making about sex and babies going together, and you shouldn't pull that apart. But he's saying, I really want a Bible verse to hang my hat on. I'll do my best, and then put it to people in a little different way. The Bible verse that I might hang my hat on is the one we run to whenever we want to talk about marriage, and that's Ephesians 5. And I talk about Christ loving the church. When Christ embraces the church, he gives everything he has. He holds back no part of himself, no part of his being. Husband and wife should share that fullness of love. Now, Pastor Walther might say, Curtis, you're always one of them weird guys. Like when I preached against birth control in the same week he did, I used John 2 in the wedding at Cana. Go figure that out, okay? Just how I like to think. But I would give the same response to Pastor Walther. This is such a big deal. And the status quo, the way God made us, is that sex and babies go together. I want a Bible passage from you that says God thinks this is okay.
Okay, then, two final questions for both of you. Pastor Curtis, how would you characterize the disagreement here?
Mm-hmm.
And then the same question to you, Pastor Walther.
Sure. I think Pastor Walther and I agree that Christian marriages need to be open to God's blessing of children. And that our goal is to increase and multiply according to God's will, but that in the hard cases, Pastor Walther believes that we are free to use any non-abortifacient contraceptive, and that I would say that in the hardest of cases, We're called to bear the cross of abstinence as the only God-given means of birth control.
Pastor Walther?
I think Heath summed it up pretty good for me, so I don't know if I need to add to that very much. I liked his analogy about going to Chicago. There's you know, you can do it in a good way or a bad way. We are not at all disagreed about the purpose of marriage and the goal of marriage, and I thank God that if people listen to this debate, like Heath said, and finally start to discover that that issue that's been swept under the rug for so long, we're really making the headway God wants us to make.
Then, Pastor Walther, I sometimes hear older Lutheran pastors bemoan the fact, and perhaps rightly so, that young people are having smaller and smaller families. How big of a problem is this issue in our own circle, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
Well, it's kind of interesting that when I preach this sermon, it's the grandparents that are going, give it to them, Pastor.
I've got a stat for that. 1964, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod had 2.4 million members and 80,000 baptisms, infant baptisms. Mm-hmm. 2004, 40 years later, the Missouri Synod had 2.4 million members, 32,000 infant baptisms.
Let me add to that. This came out in my sermon.
It's only about 30 seconds here.
When we limit the number of children, we are limiting the potential blessings that God would give through those children. I'm talking about people who could be Nobel Prize winners. And in the church, we're talking about people who may be the next Apostle Paul or something like that. You know, we never know what we're limiting when we work so hard to limit life. And that's a really serious thing to think about.
Amen.
Can I have an agreement from both of you to return and take up some of the subjects that we weren't able to address in a full way?
Sure.
Absolutely. All right. And some questions from the crowd out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. We look forward to all of it. Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois. Heath, thank you so much.
Always good to be here.
And Pastor Mike Walther is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Collinsville. Thank you for coming over, and thank you for contributing as well.
Glad to be here. Thanks, Todd.
When we come back from this break, we've got Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. straight ahead. Dr. Martin Luther is remembered this day by the church. We're going to be talking about the 16th century reformer Martin Luther with Dr. Martin Noland, past president of the Concordia Historical Institute. Greg Kokel will join us after that for part 3 of our 5-part daily series on discussing your Christian convictions. Today, we're going to pick up where we left up on the Columbo tactic. It has the advantage of, in a subtle way, asking all the right questions, but there is a question that is not just a question. Have you ever considered this? We'll talk about that question with Greg Kokel coming up in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. For the next hour, our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. God gives his blessings, and he gives them according to his own good will. And even when we, through our own feeble and sinful attempts, thwart the gift that he gives, he has provided for us, even for our own sinful, what could we call it, ingratitude? It goes beyond ingratitude. Certainly does go beyond ingratitude, not even to recognize the gift or receive it. He has provided for us in the birth of his own Son, the one born of a woman, the one who has come from the womb sinless on our behalf and lived before his Father a perfect sinless life. He has provided for us the sacrifice that avails before him in the face of all that sin. And as we struggle with the difficult moral complexities here, and the debate continues on both sides, we rely entirely upon the perfect obedience, the righteousness, the holiness of Jesus Christ. We act in good conscience, never ignoring what God has spoken, but we rely upon Christ's holiness and righteousness. Hang in there, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. In 7 minutes, I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.